T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've seen people almost go to the bathroom in their pants in his presence.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Monday in St. Louis, ladies and gentlemen. And we have a bunch to cover here this afternoon, including a ton of audio. And let me get started just on a bit of a sad note personally, just because, not sad, but just, Dave, how are you, first of all?
I'm doing
this
great.
This afternoon. This is kind of off topic with politics and everything, but I think a lot of people will be able to relate to this right now. So yesterday, do you have your Christmas stuff up? You take it all down? Most people, I think, at this point, right, because we're a week after. We were doing that over the weekend, you know. But you leave the Christmas lights on. Did you leave the Christmas lights on for a few days, or you still have them on?
Well, no, they're on the house still, but they're not on. They're currently unplugged.
Okay, but they're unplugged. So, you know, I was doing a bunch of stuff yesterday morning, and I managed to take a little teensy tiny nap yesterday afternoon, which was glorious. I don't get to do it very often, especially, as you know, Dave, with a young one. So I went outside at a certain point yesterday afternoon, and I was just looking down my block, and it hit me right away. The majority, and you remember when we went through the Christmas light saga a couple of months ago, the majority of the people in my neighborhood had their Christmas lights put up by one company, and then Santa's elves came in and did my Christmas lights. Well, that other company must have come through, and everybody's lights came down yesterday in the neighborhood. So last night, and I still had mine on, I was like last man standing, which is unusual because I'm the guy that says you got to have those lights off and on by a certain time, but I made exceptions because of the pandemic and our national mood. So last night was the final night. I finally unplugged them this morning, Dave. And, you know, it's kind of a bummer because I remember getting this started early in November thinking, man, we got to look forward to, you know, there's something to look forward to here. We got to try to salvage the holidays. And I think at least in my family, we did that. But it's just a brief moment of sadness, if you will, just seeing Christmas and the holidays go away. But we're off and running here. We do have quite a bit to cover, including, and I want to encourage you to stay tuned here for the first segment this afternoon. I put this up on Twitter earlier. Wall Street Journal reporter Michael Phillips and another reporter over there did a great piece on just one guy. They went out, they found a guy who was arrested from the insurrection last week. And yeah, I'm going to use insurrection. Somebody clipped me on that on Friday. It's actually literally the definition of the word, what happened on Wednesday. But they found a guy named Doug Sweet. Doug Sweet is I used to use this with hesitation, but I think it's pretty accurate right now. He's a Trump cult member. And when you hear some of the details of what Doug Sweet says and why he went to Washington and what he feels right now and some of the conspiracy theories that he buys into, it's quite stunning. And it's shocking. And I think people need to hear that. So Michael's coming up in just a few minutes. Gene Evans, who was the executive director of the Republican Party, a little bit later this afternoon as well. You have all kinds of stuff going on with tech. Look, I'm not comfortable because you got to sit back and you got to think about these things in the long term. I don't know that I'm completely comfortable with Jack and, you know, and Facebook and everyone else shutting down the president. I'm fine with shutting down the president at this point because I think he is a danger. But I do think that there are broader themes that we have to talk about here. And there's really no watchdog for these social media organizations. And Ian Scheer from CNET, who's a regular guest, going to join us a little bit later this afternoon because he has some ideas on that. But mostly over the weekend, I try to get away from it. I spent a lot of time looking at some of the videos and reading pieces, opinion pieces in the aftermath of what happened last week. And there was horrible, horrific new video obtained by CNN that shows you have a Trump supporter. It's not Antifa, okay? This whole nonsense about Antifa, there are still people hanging on to this out there. Just stop. Stop embarrassing yourself. So there's a guy who's got a white hat and a backpack, and he grabs a D.C. Metro police officer and pulls him down the steps, and he's stomped on and beaten with an American flag pole. I mean, at one point, there's people in the crowd that start singing the Star Spangled Banner. You have, and it's not clear, I don't think that was Brian Sicknick. Brian Sicknick is another Capitol police officer who died from his injuries last week. So now you've got five people dead. This other guy that's a hero, Eugene Goodman, how about this guy? This was one of the first videos I think a lot of us saw on Wednesday. So Eugene Goodman is the African-American police officer who was essentially running up. He was being chased by the crowd up the stairs of the Capitol. And one thing that we didn't realize at the time that we now know is Eugene Goodman, he's trying to hold him off a little bit. He's yelling at him. He's radio communicating with the other officers. But at one point, now there's a slowed down video of this. He looks down one hallway where there's an open door that could have led to members of Congress. And then he leads the protesters the other way. And he's being appropriately labeled a hero today. Even Alex Jones, one of the craziest of the crazy people on the planet, is slamming QAnon right now. So there's all kinds of these weird, interesting, horrific, frightening in some cases, examples of people reacting to this right now. Now you have Dow, the chemical company, they're pulling back. They're not going to donate to any member of Congress that objected to the certification of the presidential vote. They say they're not going to donate to these Republicans ever again, that it's not a pause there. So that's interesting. Josh Hawley continues to be targeted, and he's getting support that's being pulled from all quarters. Sam Fox says he doesn't approve. We saw what David Humphreys, one of the other big Missouri political contributors, said last week. And here's Joe Manchin, who there were rumors that Joe Manchin might... This is kind of funny when you think about everything that's changed in just a week's time. If you just go back to Wednesday morning last week, there were people that were sort of rumbling. I never thought this was going to happen. The Joe Manchin, West Virginia Democrat, moderate, or one of the sane Democrats, certainly. And he's got a constituency in his state that probably leans further right than left, that maybe he's going to flip to the R side of the column. He's going to be a Republican. I don't think that's going to happen now. And here's what he said about conversations with our own Senator of Missouri, Josh Hawley, when they were on lockdown last week.
And I asked him personally, when we were all in the room together, in that lockdown room, I said, Josh, please, please reconsider what you're doing here and what it's doing to our country. Please.
Would you vote
to expel him? I talked to Steve Daines, I talked to James Lankford. I don't think that we have that ability to do that.
Well, I don't know what the repercussions are going to be. I'm all on board with the 25th Amendment because I think the president is dangerous, and I think you could execute that relatively quickly. The impeachment stuff right now is nonsense because there's no way that you could remove him from office by next week, and it's just going to be, as Senator Blunt said last night on 60 Minutes, political. I think it was 60 Minutes. It was somewhere where he said that. Maybe it was yesterday morning on Face the Nation. Yeah, I think that's where it was with Margaret Brennan. 213, you're going to want to hear this. This is a very interesting piece by Michael Phillips, another reporter for the Wall Street Journal, a guy named Doug Sweet, who is one of, obviously, thousands of people at the Capitol, and he was arrested, and he faces charges now. But the profile on Doug from this morning's Wall Street Journal is frightening, but fascinating. Really a must-hear, must-listen-to, must-read. We'll get to it next on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
Gene Evans, who up until a couple weeks ago was the executive director of the Missouri Republican Party, will join us at 2:30. Governor Parson inaugurated in Jeff City today as the 57th governor of Missouri, so that's coming up. Of course, we have an audio cut of the day, a lot of sports to cover with Kevin Wheeler, and we will get into the social media aspect of the bans for President Trump and what might that hold for the future and some of the, you know, it's a little queasy crossing into some of those lines. We'll talk about it with Ian Scheer at 3:20 this afternoon. Joining me right now on the Bomarito Automotive Group guest line, read this piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Michael Phillips wrote it with another reporter there about his conversation with one of the protesters who took part in the siege on the Capitol last week. Michael Phillips, welcome to KMOX in St. Louis. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I have read a lot since last Wednesday. You know, as I always do, try to digest as much as possible. I put this up on Twitter earlier today. This piece that you wrote with Jennifer might be one of the most important, I think. And I really mean that because I think it gives some insight here that we're not seeing elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it is a window into the mind of one of the people who was, you know, inside the Capitol on Wednesday. A guy view into his beliefs, his view of conspiracies, his sense that, you know, he's the guy who has to stand up and do something. You know, people will have different views about whether he did something right or wrong, but you can tell what he's thinking. He doesn't hide it.
Yeah, so who is this guy? Doug Sweet, you even start by talking about how he went to the Capitol when he was 13 years old in 1975.
Yeah, so Mr. Sweet lives down in Gwin's Island, which is in sort of southeastern Virginia. His dad was a NASA engineer. He himself sort of patched together a bunch of odd jobs over the course of 40 years, raised two daughters as a single dad. He's 58 years old right now and makes a living sort of, you know, mowing grass and cutting firewood and selling it out of his yard. So he's, you know, he's a guy who is to an extent on the fringes of the economy, he lives a pretty isolated life. You know, he's got his dog, and he spends some days he doesn't talk to anybody else in the world except his dog. You know, we're all kind of locked down these days, but he doesn't really he believes that COVID is sort of a hoax, and he doesn't wear a mask, so he's not isolating himself for health reasons, but rather that's just his life. And he spends a lot of time on the internet, spends a lot of time watching Newsmax and OAN and those sort of news sources that provide a conspiratorial view of the world and a very pro-Trump and anti-Democrat kind of view of the world. And he absorbs what he sees and patches it together into a view of the way the world works, in his view.
Michael Phillips, my guest from the Wall Street Journal, wrote about this this particular Trump supporter who went to that rally, Doug Sweet. So what brought him to Washington? And then you guys kind of, you know, run down the steps that took him from the speeches last Wednesday to the Capitol itself.
Yeah, I mean, he went to the goal in mind of going to the Ellipse, which is the big grassy area that's sort of between the Washington Monument and the White House, to listen to President Trump speak. He's a big Trump supporter, has rallied for Trump. He has, you know, sort of stood out and spoken on street corners for Trump, that sort of thing. So this is his, you know, his political affiliation. He went to listen to the president, and he wasn't even sure why he was summoned there. But the president said, you know, I need all my people coming to the Ellipse on January 6th because Congress is going to be considering the, you know, the electoral votes at that point. And he literally said, I don't know why. The president wants me there, but he wants me there, so I'm going. And then he, you know, went and listened to the speech, and President Trump in the speech said, among other things, you know, we need to fight, and that sort of thing. And by the way, we're all going to be walking down to the Capitol after this, including me. In the end, Trump did not walk to the Capitol, but a lot of the people who were there did. So Mr. Sweet did not go to D.C. planning to go to the Capitol at all, but the president told him to, so he did.
And then he also says, as you sort of recount, he's with a friend. He walks into the Capitol. He says that they walked up the stairs on the mall side of the Capitol, and the doors were open. And then what happens, Michael?
So he says, and you know, this is, we can only take his word on this. You know, he says that he stopped to consult with God to see if God wanted him to go inside. He said he asked God three times, should I go inside? Is this what I need to do? And he literally said, I didn't hear a no. So he went in, and he sort of said he felt a hand behind him pushing him in. Now, there was a big crowd there, so there could have been lots of hands on him at that point. But anyhow, he saw this as a moment of divine messaging. And so he and a woman who was with him, who was from a nearby town, they went inside and you know, and then encountered the chaos that was unfolding inside the Capitol building, the destruction, the violence. You know, he walked right into the middle of it.
Do you think he was motivated at all by racism? And I bring it up because you bring up the point in the piece that he even admits, you sort of go through his political history with presidents, who he supported, who he didn't support. And he's quoted in your piece saying that when Barack Obama was elected, he says he was kind of excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see into his, you know, into his soul. I try to stick to things that he did that indicate, or things that he said that might indicate what he's thinking. So he would certainly say that he is not racist. He was very involved in defending Confederate monuments. That's one of the things he liked about Trump, was that Trump didn't seem to be supporting tearing down a Confederate monument. So he and a group that he helped form called the East Coast Highwaymen would go to towns with Confederate monuments where there was debate over whether to take them down, and they would literally guard them, spend their weekend standing outside to protect these statues that he thought were important in history. Now, of course, for Black Americans, those monuments often are symbols of slavery. They're symbols of racism. They are very loaded, monuments. You know, for him, in the way he describes it, they're part of the history of the South, and he's a guy from the South. So is that racist? It depends who you ask.
Well, and yeah, and I think it is. It depends on you ask. But I wanted to point that out because I think that was an interesting little nugget in the piece. But here's perhaps the most shocking paragraph in several shocking paragraphs. And the best way, I think, to communicate this is just to read what you wrote. In Mr. Sweet's world of false conspiracies, financier George Soros is both a Nazi and a communist who pays leftist activists to burn and loot American cities. QAnon, a conspiracy theory group that believes Mr. Trump is under assault by devil worshippers, speaks the truth. A Washington pizza parlor serves pies made of children's blood to Satanists who know to order off the menu. The U.S. military invaded Afghanistan to seize control of the heroin trade. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and House Speaker Pelosi drink children's blood in a quest for eternal youth. By the way, sadly, I've heard some of these before. His quote is, "I'm not going to open a court case saying Mrs. Clinton eats children, but I can believe that she might eat children." It's hard to know tone in a quote like that. He's serious about that?
I believe he's serious about that.
Okay.
That whole sort of list of, you know, a lot of those are QAnon related things. I live about six blocks from the pizza parlor in question. You know, gone there with my family many times. We eat pizza. But there was, of course, a huge conspiracy theory that built up through internet and television and sort of willful disinformation about a pizza place, saying that there's this child abuse, you know, cult that is led by senior Democrats inside a pizza place. And ultimately, in 2016, a guy went there with a rifle because he was going to rescue the children. There were no children. There was just a guy with a rifle. And, you know, he was sentenced to 4 years in prison for having gone there. So these are conspiracy theories that are attached to QAnon, that are bouncing around in the internet, that are fed or not denied by people who ought to know better. And somebody like Doug Sweet buys into them. He doesn't get information that is contrary to that. He just gets information that reinforces that belief. And then he acts on those beliefs.
Yeah, and I think that's why I wanted to highlight your piece. Does he have, now he faces charges, or has he been charged, Michael? And then does he have any particular reflection after, you know, seeing what unfolded last week?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, having been inside, he was arrested, wrestled to the ground and arrested. He describes it as him, you know, cheerfully surrendering because he wasn't presenting a threat. He said he did nothing violent. And I have no reason to think that he's not telling the truth about that. The police say that he refused to leave when he was ordered to leave. And so they arrested him in that particular setting with five other people, you know, cuffed him, took him to jail. And the arrest was for unlawful entry. But then the federal government also, the Department of Justice also announced additional charges against him on a federal level. So one is similar, like an unlawful entry with the attempt to interfere with the actions of government. And the second one was sort of unruly behavior inside the building kind of thing. And probably those federal charges will trump the local charges. You can be pardoned for federal charges by the president, which is something he has asked for, at least out loud, and not to the president necessarily. But you cannot be pardoned for local offenses or state offenses. So, yeah, he's facing charges. And, you know, he's one of the guys they grabbed, and one of the guys, along with the woman that he was with, will, you know, I don't read into the prosecutor's minds, but it doesn't seem like they're in a forgiving mood.
Yeah, well, but on the reflection front, I mean, now we have even more details, and I've seen some videos that are even more disturbing than what we saw live on Wednesday. I'm sure you have too, and you have a situation where another Capitol Police officer has died. Is he aware, or is there any sensitivity to that at all?
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, if you met Doug Sweet, you'd think he's a quirky guy, but a nice guy, and you know, kind of cheerful, and not the kind of guy who would want to see policemen or, you know, non-combatants killed in an incident in which he was involved. And his explanation is the violence was not Trump people, it was anti-fascist, Antifa people. So it's an extension of the conspiracy theory, you know, theorizing. So not only did, you know, there were conspiracies that forced him to go there, but there were conspiracies that made it look bad that he and the others were there. And so whatever violence occurred, he blames on the left. Now, the authorities have looked at this, of course, and said, no, it was pretty obvious. And I was at the Capitol that day. I didn't go inside, but I was outside it. And it was a very large crowd of, you know, probably tens of thousands of Trump supporters who were swarming the Capitol building, coming in, you know, going in, coming out, climbing all over everything. So it's not in doubt in any large scale way who was responsible for this, but he has said in his mind, no, this couldn't have been, you know, patriots, as he calls him himself, because patriots don't behave this way. So it's not something you can really debate with him. That's what he's decided is the case. He's let him, you know, he lets himself off the hook. He wasn't violent. The violence was caused by his opponents, so therefore he's off the hook and would do it again, he said. And he predicts, I will leave it at this, he predicts that something will happen before January 20th that will prevent Joe Biden from, you know, assuming the presidency.
I'm hearing, I'm hearing this too. Right, I know. I told a story last week from someone that I saw in a local business that was sharing that theory with the owner. Michael Phillips, thank you so much for coming on this afternoon. In a time in this country where it's hard to find good journalism, this was excellent journalism. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Take care. Thanks, Mark.
And the follow-up question then becomes, what happens after next Wednesday? Because not unlike Dr. Fauci, the goalposts have been moved quite a bit here with the cult members. First, it was, well, you just wait till January 6th. Now it's, oh, something else is going to drop here before January 20th. Then what happens? Well, I can't wait to see what that's going to be all about. 2:31, we're back. Jean Evans, former executive director of the Republican Party. She says that there were some threats that were coming in, quite a few, over the course of December. So what happened last week did not shock her. She joins me on the other side of news on KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Ron Paul tweeted this out this afternoon. Not Rand Paul. Ron Paul, I hope he's okay, because last time I saw Ron Paul, he was literally having a stroke, or it seemed like he was, on a Zoom call a couple of months ago. Some of you might remember that. He sounded terrible. I never heard any follow-up, but apparently he's doing okay. So he tweeted out that he has been blocked from Facebook for managing his page, and it says the explanation is repeatedly going against our community standards. He says they received notice of violating community standards in the past, and nowhere is the offending post identified. The reason I bring that up is because, look, there's going to be things that are going to happen on social media now that are going to be very interesting, and I think a lot of people, even maybe even some people who voted for President Trump, would be okay with removing him from Twitter or Facebook. But then it goes deeper than that, and that's where you kind of get into some uncomfortable territory. Ian Scheer from CNET will join me. He's got some great thoughts on this, and he's got an idea, I think, that sort of thinks about this in an out-of-the-box way that might be required. So he's going to join us at 3:20 this afternoon on KMOX. Kevin Wheeler will run down the NFL action and college basketball and some other sports. At 3:35, we have an audio cut of the day as well. One of our roundtable regulars, Gene Evans, the former executive director of the Republican Party in Missouri, is with me this afternoon. Gene, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mark. I'm doing all right. I'm just on my way back from the governor's inauguration in Jeff City.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I should mention we have a new sponsor this afternoon. I have to get into practice saying that I'm welcoming you on the Bomarito Automotive Group guest line. The next time I say it, hopefully I won't screw it up. The Bomarito Automotive Group guest line. See, this is what you get: new sponsors. It's going to take some practice. Let's first talk about the inauguration, because a scaled down affair. It was a little chilly, but I'll tell you what, as a cub reporter in the 80s, when I covered these things, I think I covered two or three inaugurations, starting from when I was a student, you know, into my days in Columbia, Missouri. Do not remember one of them where it wasn't just freezing cold.
It was pretty cold, but it could have been worse. I think it was 4 years ago when Greitens was inaugurated, and the sun came out just as Governor Parson was giving his remarks. So that was welcome addition to the event, since we haven't seen the sun in about a week. And the governor really, I just love Mike Parson, and he did a great job. And it was a beautiful, they finished the Capitol. It was a beautiful event.
Gene, why did you resign as director of the party a few weeks ago?
Well, to be fair, Mark, I would be done here in January. And but left a little early. There was just a lot of alarming things happening, a lot of crazy phone calls, voicemails, and just concerned about what might happen. Very clear that the RNC was signaling to us that they knew that, you know, Trump had lost and it's time to move on, but that's not what the president was indicating. And, you know, in my role, it's my job to defend every elected official, and it was getting more difficult to defend the president's actions.
So, this made news a little bit, as you know, last week when you made some comments, but are you saying there were threatening messages that were left on the voicemail at the party, for example?
Yeah, when I say threatening, so I guess I should tone that down, because everything's so, you know, saying, like, you better get off your duff and defend the president, and why haven't you chartered buses to take us all to D.C., and you're not doing enough. I mean, they just kept turning up the rhetoric, but not specific, like, you know, name-calling, things that... I mean, I've heard worse threats, trust me. Like, and when things get too escalated, then you have to report them. But it was just, the tone and tenor was very angry and a little scary, and just contrary to Republican values. Like, we don't really do protests. That's not something, you know, the party apparatus does, and it's not something we do in general. If people want to go, you know, do a rally for the president, that's great. And I've been at those events, and people are very friendly and nice. But some of the comments are a little edgy, and just some of the things I was hearing people say, well, just wait till the 6th. We're going to overturn this election. Well, Congress, that's not constitutional. You know, Mark, we talk about being constitutional conservatives, and Congress doesn't have the right to overturn an election. Even if you believe 100% that there was voter fraud and you're convinced of it, it's still not Congress's job to do that. You have to prove it in court and let the courts work it out.
And here's what's even, I think, more frightening. Now, I think this is real fringy, and I do want to be careful, you know, separating the people out who may have voted for President Trump and the fringy folks, because, you know, there's a difference, although I'm concerned about how much fringe is on the fringy side right now. You know, I have this guy on, Michael Phillips, who wrote this piece for the Wall Street Journal about this guy, Doug Sweet, who is completely unhinged. I mean, here's a guy who buys into all the conspiracy theories, including Hillary children eating children in Washington, D.C., and all this stuff. I mean, it's just craziness. So you have a certain faction of those people. But then with the regular folks who just voted for Donald Trump, they hear the repeated claims of voter fraud. They believe it. They see Josh Hawley and other Republicans backing this up. Then you get to Wednesday, Gene. I don't think any of us could have predicted what happened, you know, to the level that it did on Wednesday. But again, why was there so much shock in some circles that this thing got out of control?
Well, you know, the QAnon stuff, I mean, the only people who'd ever said anything to me about QAnon were all Democrats. I just thought it was a bunch of bull. I didn't know that was like a real thing. And I listened to your segment there about this guy, like, that stuff is creepy. But I know thousands of Republicans in Missouri and every part of the state. I've never heard anybody talk about that or approach me with any of those QAnon conspiracies ever. So
nor have I.
Stuff, it's super fringy. And, you know, when people say, well, you believe in QAnon, I had to Google it the first couple times I heard it because I didn't even know what it was. So that is really fringe. I do think a lot of people feel like there was fraud. There's a lot of concern about mail-in voting. But that stuff needed to be addressed really before the election, which is part of the problem with the legal team. And just the it's just tough to argue when people feel disenfranchised. And I do think some of these states need to look at the mail-in and balloting. But at the end of the day, we still, if we believe in the Constitution and the rule of law, you have to prove your case in court. It can't be anecdotal. I can't believe my brother's cousin's sister got a mail-in ballot from the wrong state. You have to actually prove it. And until you do, it's really pretty meaningless. So that's my concern. I voted for Trump. I wanted him to become president. I don't think the majority of people who voted for Trump want anything to do with insurrection or rushing the Capitol, and it's embarrassing that this happened. And I don't like this, you know, the tone from the left, like, well, you should have seen this coming. Hey, the left has been, you know, looking the other way with violence for a long time. And they were cheering when the Senate was occupied during the Kavanaugh hearings and, you know, raising money for looters and rioters. And now they're all with this, you know, righteous indignation. We've allowed this political violence to become normalized in this country, and it has to stop. But you got to condemn it on your own side, right? We have to condemn what happened in the Capitol, and the Democrats have to, you know, stand up what's happening in Portland and what's happened, you know, across this country for the last year.
The thing about the voter fraud that has frustrated me from the beginning is, you know, I'm with you. We should try to root out voter fraud. We should try to find out where there are issues and then match up the number of votes with fraudulent votes. But in Georgia, they did that, and they did it several times, and they actually matched the paper ballots with the electronic voting machines, and the results were virtually exactly the same, less than 0.01% difference in the results. So that's the type of information that really needed to be out there. And the president was told that, and Josh Hawley knew that, and Ted Cruz knew that, but they didn't really care because they wanted to lead people down this path. So as the former executive director of the party, what do you say about Senator Hawley right now?
Yeah, I've been asked about that a lot. You know, I really like him. I worked with him in the legislature, and I didn't agree with how he handled this. That's all I can say. I mean, we don't always agree with how people handle things, but I understand that he was responding to constituents, and we have a representative government. We have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Missourians who wanted him to do what he did. So that's, he has to decide, does he want to represent what they want, or does he want to tell them, no, I'm not going to do it? And I get the pressure. I've been there in the legislature, where people want you to do something, even though maybe you're not sure it's the right thing to do, but you're feeling the pressure from your constituents. So I get it. Don't agree with how he handled it, but again, I get it. And I still like Josh Hawley. I know him personally, and I think very highly of him. But I think there's going to be some repercussions from this. Yeah. I think there already have been.
I think less highly of him than I did a few weeks ago, really a couple of months ago. This goes back to, you know, right after the election. And the reason is because, as you know, Gene, he was, you know, I brought him on here probably 10 years ago as the official constitutional law expert of the Mark Reardon Show. I think there is a responsibility on the part of Senator Hawley, and there was a responsibility before last week, certainly there is now, to explain to his constituents that there was no path to overturn this election and to be honest about it. And he wasn't honest about it, and I think that's what got him into trouble. I also think that our attorney general, who's a good friend of mine, Eric Schmidt, got very close to stepping into it about as deeply as Josh Hawley did, and I think he might have avoided that. And Gene, you know how politics works. You can have constituents that stick by you, but if he can't raise money for the future, and I don't think Josh Hawley's going to resign, there are challenges for him. You've got big donors, Sam Fox being the latest, that have now condemned what you did, and they hold the purse strings. So there's going to be a challenge. You also have companies now that are putting on pressure to say, look, if you took a donation, we're gonna ask for it back. There are some companies that are asking. Hallmark asked Hawley for the money back. So this is a little more than just constituents trying to decide how to react to this senator in the future.
But come on, Mark. I mean, look at what Kamala Harris is raising money to bail out rioters and looters, and she gets a pass. So it does seem like we come down harder.
Well, she didn't get a pass from me. I mean, I don't. Yeah, she didn't get a pass from me. So I understand that there's the allegation that the other side gets a pass. What I do is I'm holding them accountable. I held them accountable for the ridiculous, dangerous looting and violence over the summer. We talked about that quite a bit, extensively on this show, with criticism that was leveled in all quarters. So, but what I can't do is just give a pass to this and say, okay, well, but that happened. Because I have, especially after every video that I see paints this as even more horrifying than the one I saw before it. And with this latest officer dying as well, I mean, what these guys, men and women, had to deal with to prevent something that could have been a lot more tragic is just horrifying. It's the same thing that those cops on the front lines in the summer dealt with as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you got to be against violence all the time. So we were against it last summer. We're still against it. We support law enforcement. We support our first responders. And it has to be consistent. I don't believe that those insurrectionists that were violent there represent the vast majority of Republicans. I can't believe it.
I don't believe that either.
No, but you're right. We've got to take the temperature down. But both sides have to be accountable to their own constituencies and say, hey, listen, like, we got to try to work together. And we've got to stop this violence. There's so many ways to affect change in this country. I mean, we have a democratic elections. We have our officials that we can reach out to and speak to, and you can vote them out of office. We don't need to resort to violence. It needs to happen at the ballot box.
Gene Evans, we'll catch you on the roundtable soon. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
St. Louis's weather station, KMOX.
You know, I don't think I've addressed this even close to enough this afternoon, because it happened after the roundtable and after the show on Friday, but with President Trump not having a social media presence, I mean, that's all he has, really. And I think that's going to be a problem for him moving forward, because he's got no way. I think he thought he was going to leave office and be able to communicate with everyone the way that he has been, and he's not going to have that opportunity. Now, this does become a bit of a slippery slope, and now the loss of support from Amazon could force Parler to shut down. The CEO today, John Matz, is basically saying that there's nobody to host the website right now, and the attorneys for that company have even quit. So they filed a lawsuit, but then the lawyers, this is where some of this gets a little frightening, but I guess you reap what you sow. The lawyers for Parler have resigned. They've dropped them as clients. So I don't even know how you move forward. If you're suing, you're not going to get a resolution if you don't have any lawyers. In the meantime, and we're going to talk about this with Ian Scheer in the next hour. Our good buddy Kenny Wallace has tweeted about this. He's a big Twitter guy. We have him on the site. He's got several hundred thousand followers. And I thought it was interesting what he tweeted out over the weekend.
I have got to breach this controversial subject of Twitter banning our president of the United States. You are all asking my opinion, so I'm going to give it to you. Twitter is a free app. There's one man owns the whole Twitter deal. Donald Trump can go stand on a street corner right now and say what he wants to say. I'm a hardcore Republican, but this freedom of speech thing, you know, it's like saying I own a restaurant. Anybody can come in here and talk. Well, if you own the restaurant, he can tell you who can come in and come out. Now, some might think this is the start. Listen, in my opinion, no. It's not the start of anything, because it's America, man. You can do whatever you want to do. And that's the truth. Now, you can go ahead and argue with me, but I don't agree with that. If you own something, you can control it, right? You can't let everybody in. You go, no, this is my house. Stay out. So that's what this is about. This is a free app, man. It's free. You don't pay nothing for it.
Yeah, he's got a point. And by the way, he's nailed the freedom of speech issue because the government's not shutting down the president. It's actually Jack and these other forces. However, there still are some slippery slopes, and we'll run them down in the next hour at 3:20 on KMOX. Hang in there. Second hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.